illustrations in front of us, and I hope you'll get to come up and see them afterwards if you'd like to. Not sure how that will work, but we all know the Christmas story, the traditional story of Christmas, pretty well. And we know all about the wise men that came bearing gifts, and we know about the shepherds out in their fields in the middle of the winter, and we know about a baby that was born in a plain animal room in a feeding trough. But like a diamond ring that you've worn for a long time that you like, once in a while you could take it to a jeweler and they could clean it and let you see it in a new way, in a fresh light, all sparkly and clean. And that's all we're doing today. The Christmas story has many parts, but I thought that we would just look at this part that we've already seen this morning about the shepherds and the sheep and their job. It is so full of imagery and things that we're familiar with. So the first part of the book of Luke chapter 2, of course, deals with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, just on schedule, just the way God planned it. And then when you get to chapter 2, verse 8, then we have the announcement that was made to the shepherds. And so we're just going to think about the announcement that was made to the shepherds. The very first people that received the announcement of the birth of Christ were shepherds. And shepherds were very, very common in the Middle East. They still are today. And just to give you an idea of how common they were, the Arab world, since the time of Abraham, have raised sheep and depended upon sheep for their very livelihood. And if you read the Bible, the account of Job, in Job chapter 42, anybody want to guess how many sheep he had at the end of the book of Job? Everybody remember? 14,000. He had a lot of sheep. Do you know how many sheep Solomon sacrificed at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem? The great Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, how many sheep they sacrificed for that? 120,000 sheep were sacrificed at the dedication of the temple. And so sheep must have been a little bit more than a hobby. They must have been more prominent, and they were, than we give credit to. Taking care of sheep was usually done by the youngest in the family, the young kids, which is pretty amazing. And the reason was that sometimes families had to farm, so they had to plow and they had to sow and they had to reap crops, and the older boys, the older kids in the family, would often have to do that, and so the job of shepherding, taking care of the sheep out there, was usually for the little ones, the youngest. So, and that's what happened with David. When the confrontation with Goliath came, guess who was taking care of the sheep? David, the last of all those brothers, those siblings. So, what they would wear, shepherds would wear a simple cotton tunic, I guess they call it, with a belt around the waist, sometimes made of leather. And then to keep really warm, they would put on usually a camel's hair. They called it an abba. And they would wear it and it would keep warm. It would kind of keep the rain off and all of that. And so then also they carried a lunch pail. Except they didn't call it a lunch pail. I don't know if you guys remember lunch pails. I remember lunch pails as a kid, going to school with lunch pails. But they would carry something called a scrip. And it was made out of skin. And inside there, they would have dried fruit and maybe goat cheese and bread for sure, and maybe some olives, and that would be the lunch that the shepherds would eat. So they didn't have McDonald's around the corner. And then they would carry a rod. And a rod was basically made out of oak, and it was basically a club. And sometimes they would embed nails in the end of it, and it was used to protect the sheep from wolves or predators or bears or whatever, you know. So, and even when it talks about passing under the rod, as the shepherd counted them, he would count his sheep with a rod. And then, of course, we also know about the staff. The shepherd had a staff which was about 5 or 6 feet tall, and it basically was a walking stick. It was used for all kinds of good things. But and then they carried a sling. A sling, you guys have heard the story of David so many times, you know all about a sling with a couple of leather thongs or straps, and then a piece of leather in the middle to hold a rock or a stone. But then they also played a flute, and it's kind of an off-key flute. And if you look through the Psalms, you'll find out that this was a big deal, because some of the Psalms that David wrote were meant to be played accompanied by a harp or a lyre and a flute. And the shepherds carried flutes around with them, and they played the flutes, and I'm sure they had lots of time to pass, and they didn't have video games and stuff like that and smartphones, and music was a part of the shepherd's life. And so sheep would grow up hearing the music that the shepherd played, and kind of kept things calm. And then most importantly, I think, was that the shepherd was always planning meals. Always planning for the feeding of the sheep. And they had to plan. In the springtime, of course, there was plenty of green pasture available, so that was the easy time. After the harvest, the shepherds would, and after the fields were harvested and gleaned by the poor, the way the Old Testament told them to do it, then they would let the sheep in to consume the rest, so they didn't waste feed. So shepherds understood that. But then the part where a shepherd had to be diligent was during the winter time, and they were the ones who had to provide the food for their sheep. And they would cut green bushy trees and green leaves and tender twigs and feed them to their sheep. And the sheep were totally dependent in the wintertime upon the shepherd for their food. And then, of course, in the Middle East, water was a huge thing. And so shepherds would lead their sheep beside quiet waters, not between by running streams that would scare them, but pools of water. And they would... lead them to a well. Wells in the Middle East are a huge part of taking care of and providing the water of life for the sheep. And then they had simple improvised sheep pens. Now, Serena had a simple improvised sheep pen, sort of. But improvise just means you use what you have. You use rocks or boulders or branches or whatever you have to have some sort of an enclosure so that the sheep feel safe. I think these three feel fairly safe because Asher's doing a good job up there. So anyway, and then sheep have... There's a reason for raising sheep. Lots of products that a sheep will... provide wool, sheep skins, meat, animals for sacrifice in worship services. They would provide milk. They would provide horns. The rams had horns, and the horns were either turned into sort of trumpets that were used to, like at the Battle of Jericho, they used rams' horns to blow them to obey the Lord by faith around the city of Jericho. And sometimes they would use them and fill them with anointing oil. A horn of oil was a product of a male sheep. So these shepherds in the story in Luke were found in perhaps in what's called the Shepherd's Field. I've never been there, a couple miles outside of Bethlehem, out in their fields, a couple miles or so away. I don't know whether these sheep would spend time at Cabela's or REI, but I kind of think probably Cabela's is where they would go to if they had one nearby. But they were the outdoorsmen. They lived outdoors. Literally what it means is they when they stayed out in their fields at night, they were outdoorsmen big time. They preferred to be out there, and they were out there all the time. It means to make one's field into one's courtyard or house. And that's what they did. And, of course, it's possible but not certain that the sheep that were being raised in outside of Bethlehem were for the sacrifices in the temple. It's possible. We don't know that for certain. But many shepherds did raise sheep to be given as offerings in the sacrificial system. So they would provide a sheep for the burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 1 talks about a male without defect. And they would slay it, the priests would slay it on the sides of the altar and sprinkle its blood on the altar and cut it into pieces. And it would be an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. And their sheep were not just cuddly to look at. And they required a lot of care. That's why we call it animal husbandry. And the shepherds are often characterized as representing the downtrodden and the despised of society. There was the sense that they were considered of a lower class. And so the first proclamation of the good news of the birth of Christ was to those shepherds who spent their lives taking care of sheep, looking out for sheep, watching out for the sheep. And there's a lot of imagery here, isn't there? And I'm not going to go into great detail here, except I just want to share some important things about from the New Testament about sheep. Remember the story in Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep? It says, what man or what shepherd among you, if he has 100 sheep and one goes astray, will he not leave the 99 and go and find the one who's lost? It's a story that Jesus told using sheep as his illustration. And if you look at the book of Mark chapter 6, here's what Jesus said as he looked out on the sea of faces on the people around him. Jesus loved people. Jesus loved people. Dr. Toussaint, who's with the Lord, who was one of my professors at Dallas, when he summarized ministry and shepherding people, he said, there are two requirements. One is to love God's word. And the second thing is to love God's people. That's it. I mean, if you boil it all down. And Jesus is our model, isn't he? Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus said, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd. And he felt compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So he began to feed them right away. He began to feed them with truth. He began to feed them. He loved them. What would a church be like that loved people like that. What would it be like if we were filled with the love of Christ for the people around us, for our community? Wouldn't that be awesome? And I'm not saying we aren't. But churches that love people will never have a shortage of things to do. John chapter 10 is where I want to just focus, because this is perhaps the center of what we know about our Savior, the Lord Jesus. John chapter 10, and we'll begin with verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." That's exactly what Chris and Tamara read this morning. I am the way. I am the door. I am the entrance into the kingdom of God and God's blessing. That's exactly what Jesus is saying to you, saying here, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. He will be delivered. He will find deliverance, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And here's the amazing thing, isn't it? This was the reason Jesus came. This is the reason Jesus came into this world. You ready? He came, what? I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Can you say this morning that you have life? That you have abundant life? I don't mean that you have everything that you've ever wanted. That's one thing in my life all along the way. God has been faithful, been faithful, been faithful. But I haven't always had everything I want when I wanted it. Can you say that? But I have so much. We have so much. We have abundant life. We have a Savior. We have hope. We have the forgiveness of sin. We can share our testimonies about that easily. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's good news, isn't it? We have a Savior who is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's what taking care of animals is like. I wrote it in the last newsletter. Some of you read this. But, you know, one day you go out and you find a sweet little cuddly puppy. And we did that a long time ago when our kids were little. They wanted a puppy. And so we went to the pound and we saw one that we wanted, but it said adopted. And so then we waited another month or two and went to the Lewis County Fair, went through their booths, and there was a Lewis County Animal Shelter booth there. And there was one little black dog in there named Lucky, or he became Lucky to us, and he became our dog for 16 years. But you know what? We took on responsibility to take care of Lucky for a long time. We fed him and took him to the vet, and we did everything that we need to do to a pet. And we became the ones who had to be committed to him. And having animals is being a good shepherd and laying down our lives for the sheep. So he is he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. That is the definition of a good shepherd. Someone who is concerned about the sheep. And isn't it interesting? The Bible says that's what church leaders should be. He says we are shepherds of the sheep, shepherding the flock of God, being concerned about the sheep. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So, shepherds in the story that we read are the lowly and humble, but they respond to the message of God that came through the angel. I don't know. I just know if we turned out the lights in here a little bit, maybe we can. Yeah. And imagine being out there with those unruly sheep. They are so unmanageable. They look a little warm to me. They're panting a little bit up there. Yeah. They have their woolens on. Yeah. But imagine, you know, being a shepherd was thinking that you're second class, that you're not out in a palace, you're not in the limelight, you're not doing something really significant, you're not really important, you're not really whatever. But to you, suddenly, an angel is standing right there with you, the shepherd. And the first reaction is, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. It's the first announcement. I bring you good news, shepherds. I have good things for you. You may feel like second class or third class, but I have good news for you. And this good news will result in great joy for all the people. We tend to read into it Jews and Gentiles. I think God was saying to those people in town who are rich, who are the religious elite, who run things in the temple, who whatever. But the good news is for you too, for all of you. It's for all people. Good news that came. It's good news of great joy. And the angel was declaring the greatness and the significance of Jesus. I mean, angels came. They were the messengers that came out of heaven. They were sent. A messenger is angelos, one who is sent. And God sent the messengers to speak the word of God. That good news has come to you. And here's, and don't be afraid. I bring you good news, which will be for all the people. And he is a savior, a deliverer, a rescuer from sin. Sin enslaves. Sin beats us down. Sin gives us guilt. Sin ruins our lives. But Jesus came to deliver us from sin, from the disease of sin. He's a rescuer and a deliverer. And he is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah. He is of the line of David. He is regal. He is majestic. Just like Les prayed, he is the Christ, the Messiah. And he is also the Lord. He is the sovereign who has a right to rule. He came announcing his kingdom. And so Not only is Jesus the Messiah, but he is also the Lord. He is fully God. And so then, if you look at Luke chapter 2, and then we'll close. This is the result. I mean, the heavenly host broke into loud giving glory to God. It wasn't even all the angels. It was a portion of them. It was a few of them. And we know this story, but they erupted into giving glory to this one. Let's look at it for just a second here. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, giving glory to God, worshiping God. And it says, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Doxa. The Shekinah glory. Glory. That's his attribute. He is glorious. Our God is filled with glory. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, a right relationship with him among men with whom he is pleased. And when the angels had gone away, we don't know how long they stayed there, but they went back away, didn't they? Back away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to try and make a decision. What should we do? Should we listen to this announcement? Should we go to Bethlehem? Someone probably had to stay with the sheep. You know, who's going to stay here? Who's going to go with us? It's only a couple miles away. Should we go? But they decided, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The Lord made known to us the birth of the Savior, right? So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the feeding trough. Not very glorious. It's not a palace. It's not luxury. But here was the Son of God in a feeding trough. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. They said they were the first communicators of this announcement. We heard from heaven. We heard the angelic host. We heard the voice of an angel just telling us about the birth of this Christ Jesus. And they went, and that's the first thing they talked about. What was spoken in heaven was now being talked about on earth. That's our job. What has been spoken by God through His Word and in our lives is to be communicated on earth. And verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God, having been confirmed that it was exactly as the angels told them. There was confirmation of the truth of the vision of the statement by the angels, and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. So they became part of the praising, the glorifying, the communicating force in the world. So here's the bottom line. The heavens rejoice and praise God for salvation's outworking. And number two, the people to whom God draws near through Jesus will experience the harmony and benefits that God bestows on His own. The heavens rejoice and praise God for salvation's outworking. And the people to whom God draws near through Jesus will experience the harmony and benefits that God bestows on His own. Lord, we thank You for today. Lord, thank You that in eternity past You did have a plan to rescue.